Good morning, church. Thank you for coming on time. Shall we rise and welcome your neighbor to the house of the Lord? What a joyous day. I read for you Psalms 100. Psalms 100 encourages us and remind us what a God we have, what a God we serve. Verse 1, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. So enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through generation. What a great reminder of what a God we have. Won't you take 30 seconds and thank God for His promises and His reminder for us. And then I'll pray after that and then we can start our worship. We thank You this morning. We are reminded that You, our Lord, is God. Thank You that You made us. Thank You that we are Yours. Thank You that we are Your people. Thank You that we are sheep of Your pasture. So Lord, help us to enter Your gates with thanksgiving and this courts with praise. Thank You and praise You. Lord, this morning as we come, we know and reminded that You are good and Your love endures forever and Your faithfulness will continue from this generation to the next and to next. So help us this morning as we come with gratefulness to worship You, to praise You, to adore You, to ascribe You all the greatness You do. This morning, teach us what it means to worship You in spirit and in truth. So help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Shall we rise and welcome the Lord to the house?
Oh, Forever, God is Lord. Forever, God is Lord.
presence, to magnify, to bless your holy name. We come as your people, we come as true worshippers, we come as people sanctified by the blood of the Lamb, washed with the water of the Word, and filled with your Spirit. Lord, open our eyes this morning as we learn what it means to press deeper, what it means to be hungry and thirsty for your presence in our lives. Help us, Holy Spirit, unpack your Word as we commit the entire service to you with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, and everybody says, amen. You may be seated. Every 15 months, every 24 months, we will reformat the worship service. For those who are relatively new, our worship service is meant for us to experience God. Our worship service is meant for us to exalt the Lord, for the Lord to inhabit, to dwell in the thanksgiving, praises, and worship of His people. Okay? You recall at Wash Night, we had Come Bless the Lord, and the Lord downloaded to our sister Yuling, together with Pastor Jesse, alright, this acronym, this formula, so to speak, the MAP to victory in our lives. M-A-P. M stands for magnify, A for adore, and P for proclaim. And we really believe that as we apply this, and I was meditating on it, the Lord says, do it this weekend, although it's a very packed weekend, for our people. Now, why do we reformat our worship service every 15, 18, 24 months? Because the Lord has given us this very clear instruction, make ready a people for the Lord. Make ready the church to be a part of the glorious bride, ready for Jesus' coming. Teach our people to worship. Teach our people to draw near to God. Teach our people to give thanks, to render praise, and worship the Lord. When we learn to map, alright, we need, as we have learned in the last 2 weekends, we need the wisdom from God to thrive in turbulent end times. I want to encourage you, there's a handout, make as much notes as possible, alright, and refer to it as you walk with God. We need the wisdom from God to thrive in turbulent end times. God doesn't want you and I to just survive. We don't need to just survive, just make do. No, He wants us to thrive, to succeed, to be victorious as we live in these turbulent end times. And we have learned that wisdom begins with knowing, experiencing, and understanding God. The first weekend of January, we learned that if we don't know God, we will misunderstand God. And when we misunderstand God, we will misrepresent God. God wants men and women here to walk with Him. And as we walk with God, the Word of God says that we will be overcomers. Revelation 2, Revelation 3. What do we overcome? We overcome the devil. We overcome the sins of the world. We overcome our own sins. We overcome the flesh, the carnality in us. God wants us to be people who learn what it means to come into the presence of God before going out to the world. Alright? Don't quarrel with this phrase, pick whichever you want, or we can go out into to be with the Lord first before we come into our homes and the world. Alright? We must be kingdom disciples who first walk with God. We must be disciples who first connect with God before we connect with people in the world. We must first seek the Lord first for His wisdom, His idea, His will. Alright, before we go and figure out, go for meetings and presentations and do life, so to speak. So go to God first, seek first His kingdom, His righteousness, and to know that all these things will be added unto us as we go into the world. Go to God first before you go to school, before you go to the polytechnic and the universities. Go to God first before you go on your marketing trip, your business trip. Go to God first before you engage the person and do your thing. Man, magnify, adore, and proclaim to thrive in turbulent end times. God wants us to be victorious as we come in and go out of His presence. Come into the God. It means connect with God. We learn that in the Old Testament, it is known when for Moses, he went to the tent of meeting. Moses was instructed by God to make the tabernacle of Moses. For David, he went and he created the tabernacle of David, 2 Samuel 6:1. But it was just the ark and the tent over it. The psalmist wrote and called it the secret place of the Most High. This is the old covenant. They have to go to a particular place. That particular place is not just BBTC in this worship service.
But in the new covenant, the particular place is in you and in me. Deuteronomy asks the question, where is God? It is in you. It is as close to you as in your mouth. And literally, it's in our belly. When we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, Christ lives in us. And then we are also, secondly, temples of God the Father. And thirdly, we are temples of the Holy Spirit. All the three persons of the Godhead dwell in you and I. Such a believer. Everybody reads what's on the screen. One, two, go. Such a believer. So we want to make this a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that is sustainable. And literally the whole week, alright, I was away the whole past week, came back just before 3, and I was here about 4-ish for the Saturday service. Literally magnifying the Lord, adoring the Lord, proclaiming the Lord, declaring that the paths will be straight. Every obstacle will be removed. The plane will land on schedule, alright, within the margin and so forth. Such a believer. Bless the Lord at all times. We map our way to succeed. We map our way to overcome obstacles and problems. We don't create problems, all right? We don't ask for them. They are already in the world. We live in a fallen world. We live amongst fallen people and fallen systems. So today's reformatted worship service is meant for all of us to experience God, and more importantly, for all of us to capture what God wants to deposit in us, to maintain and sustain this lifestyle. Magnify. How do we magnify the Lord? We magnify the Lord by building our altar of thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Okay? We're going to recap a lot of things we've learned over the years. What is thanksgiving? We thank God for what He has done for us. We thank God for what He has given to us. No brainer. But we have to thank Him. We have to make the effort to thank Him. We have to be intentional to thank God. Okay? What is praise? I'm going to define it in a moment. But praise is literally one step beyond thanksgiving in thanking God for who He is, for what He has given to us, for who He is, for what He has done for us. Alright? We thank Him for actually what we receive and what is done. But in praise, we go to the nature of God. Who He is behind what He has done for us, what is given to us. And worship is ultimately surrender. Okay? So we must decide to magnify the Lord with our praises at all times. All the sisters, Psalms 34, 1, 2, read. Psalms 138, 1 and 2. Decide, I will magnify the Lord. Okay? Praise enables us to declare and proclaim who God is. What is praise? Is defined in Hebrews 13:15. As the fruit of lips, what comes out of our mouths, our lips, is the fruit of lips that confess God's name, that declares His name. What is in the name of God? His nature, His attributes, His goodness. And we're going to do some proclaiming towards the end of the service. Praise is preceded by thanksgiving. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Our brother Hockchai read it to us, and into His courts with praise. All the brothers, please read what's on the screen. One, two, go. Thank God. This is very important. Many times we are unable to give thanks. We are unable to be grateful. It's because we are offended at God. We focus on what God has not answered, and then we get stuck and muddled in it. Don't. Instead of being muddled and stuck at what He has not done, focus on God. We need to shift from the horizontal to the vertical. Don't be offended at God for what He has not done or not done yet. Early on in the early service, a brother came to me, and basically he got entangled with what is needs and wants. I said, brother, don't worry, what is your need? Because my needs may be what is your wants. My need is to fly and to go here and go there and enjoy all the good things. For him, it may be his wants. So don't compare. We really learn comparison is different. Why? The Bible says gives us our daily bread. Your daily bread and my daily bread is different. Don't compare. I said, brother, just focus on delighting in the Lord. Just focus on the relationship with God. Alright? And slowly, gradually, you will figure out your needs and your wants. He will give you the desires of your hearts. Our God is not stingy. Don't have a small mindset. Don't have a poverty mindset. Don't sweat the small stuff. Don't sweat the small stuff. Thank you for the last thing you did. So when you are stuck, what do you do? Go back to the last thing you can recall that God has done for you and given to you. Start from there. Give thanks. And praise Him for what He has done. Because unbelief and offense are obstacles. The devil cannot harm you, but he will stumble you. He will trip you. And it costs you. And when you lose heart, when you're not focused on the Lord, you miss the greater blessings of God. All the brothers read, see, one, two, go. Our and Hebrews 10:19-22, louder. There are two passwords to come into the presence of God. There are two pins, P-I-N, that comes into the presence of God. There are two ways only to come into the presence of God. It's by the blood of Jesus. And it's through Jesus, our great high priest. The blood of Jesus. It's not better you read the Bible this morning. In a sense, I didn't. Alright? And for those of you who are latecomers, you are very guilty now. So what we're going to do is, remember, it's not what we do. See, the devil wants us to focus on ourselves all the time. Focus on Jesus. Alright? Focus on Jesus. Focus on His blood. And He's our great high priest. We come boldly, we come confidently, we come with full, verse 22, let us draw near to God with full assurance of faith. And because we have sins that trouble us, the devil wants to give us guilt and condemn us. What do? We must pursue a guilt-free, no condemnation relationship with God. Alright? I'm going to give us 1 minute to confess our sins. 1 minute to appropriate the blood. Let's do that for the next 1 minute. Close our eyes. Whatever is bothering you, whatever is troubling you, just bring it under the blood. Okay, that's it. Simple. For those who have got a longer list of sins, come and see any pastor or elder, alright? This assumes that all of us know how to pray. All of us understands 1 John 1:9. I mean, I'm half kidding, but I'm half serious, alright? For those of you who really struggle, come and see any pastor or leader, alright? We'll meet with you and pray together with you. Okay? Now, summary steps to come into the presence of God. All the sisters, alright, from point A, 1, 2, go. Decide. B. C. D. And E. Why is worship a part of magnify? John 3:30. Where John the Baptist says, Christ must be magnified. Christ must increase in our minds, in our hearts, in our lives. I, me, myself must decrease. My problems must shrink. My situations must all be brought under the blood. God. It's about being God conscious. This is called godliness. Where you factor God and consider God in all your situations. The outcome of magnify is rejuvenation. Another word for rejuvenation, don't get stuck with the word, is to be revived, is to be refreshed, to be refilled, to be rebooted in the computer language. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Again, don't get stuck with this word strength. Substitute the word that you want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens my voice box, my vocal cords. I can do all things through Christ who will make sure the planes, they will land and they will arrive on schedule. I can do all things through Christ who gives me health and energy and vitality. I can do all things through Christ who gives me a clear mind. I'm not muddled. I take one thing at a time, one step at a time. So there were two or three meetings after this, alright? I need to be calm, cool, collected, composed. I need people to remind me, to prompt me, that things will be there at the right time, right place. So, substitute this word strength with whatever you need. If you're not well, I need God, I can do all things through Christ who heals me. This coming week, you've got a presentation. I can do all things through Christ who will give me that download, that idea. The solution to the problem. The answer to the question. Okay? Strength. So Christ is the source of our strength, our wisdom, our healing, and our situation. Where do you find this strength? Where do you find this strength to cope with your life? Each one of us have got different needs, different levels of strength, different aspects of the strength that we need. Where do we find it? The joy of the Lord. Nehemiah 8:10. He says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And therefore it's so important. This is very logical. Alright? Whenever you come into the presence of God, say, Lord, teach me. Lord, I want to rejoice in you. I want to rejoice in the Lord. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Which leads to the next question. Where do you find the joy of the Lord? Very logical, right? Strength? Where is strength? In the joy of the Lord. Where is the joy of the Lord? Where is the joy of the Lord? In His presence is fullness of joy. Which leads to the next question. How do you go into the presence of God? How do you go into the presence of God? Our worship pastor, elder, read that to us. How do you go into the presence of God? Everybody read Psalms 100 verse 4. Enter. Thanksgiving and praise helps you to come into the presence of God. It helps you to connect with the presence of God. Let us arise. Let us magnify the Lord. And let's do so intentionally. Let's do so with our hearts. Let's sing from our hearts. Let's magnify the Lord.
King of heaven, great in power, great in glory, great in mercy, great in battle, great in wonder. He's on our side. He's on your side. Let's give him praise. Not just a shepherd, but a good shepherd. Not just a good shepherd, but a good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep. And that's why we are reminded on that eventful night, while they are eating, Jesus took the bread. After a blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples. And he told them, "Take it, this is my body." And then he took the cup after he had given thanks. He gave it to them and said, "Drink from it all. This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins, for your sins and for my sins." As we partake the elements, the Lord's Supper, may we be reminded again of what he has done for us. May we also be reminded that he is coming back for us, so that we will live our life for him and him alone. Lord Jesus, nurture in us a faith, love and hope to live our life for a single audience, and that's you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated as the service team wait upon us with the elements. We want to remind that the leaders of the following group, of the following tribe, CPCOCS, cell leader ACGL of the tribe of Antioch, Asher, Dan, Everjoy, Century, Hallelujah, Nicole, Wise, Vineyard, as well as the ministry leaders, heads, of NDT, DTC, premarital course, RTF ministry, Breakthrough House, Performing Arts ministry, VCCSC, VBTK, Heads of the Gulu, Filipino Indonesian ministry, Alpha educators, church staff, para church workers, leaders of rescue program and parent support group, please make your way to the front and dedicate your service to the Lord. Alright? So can you make your, we'll request you to make your way to the front quickly. And then senior pastor will pray for us after a while.
So church, can I invite you to stand and just pray for all our leaders? Would you stretch forth your hands and bless them? Father God, we thank you again for every single one of these leaders, even as they stand here at your very presence to consecrate themselves to serve you in this new year. For everyone who is serving you in their cell groups, in their clusters, in their tribes, everyone who is serving you in the various platforms, mission agencies and parachurches, everyone that is serving you in the various support groups and ministries, Lord, would you just bless every single one of them. We ask in this new year, Lord, that you will open the eyes of their hearts to know the hope of their calling, to know the glorious inheritance you have in the saints, and for each of them to know the great power that raised Jesus from the dead, and how he placed all the principalities and powers of darkness under the feet of the body of Christ. That for each of our leaders, you teach them to know what it means to reign and to rule with Christ, to sit in the heavenly places. They will learn to serve you always with the strength that you provide. And they will learn to speak the very oracles of God. Lord, we ask that you grant them a very clear mind always, that you teach them to pray. Lord, we ask that you watch over their coming in and their going out, and that they will seek your wisdom always in every situation, in every circumstance, in every problem, in every difficulty, that they will look to you from where their help comes from. So Lord, we bless all our leaders. We ask that you bless their marriages, you bless their families, bless their children, bless their friends, bless their finances, bless their health, bless all that they are doing with the great abundant blessing that comes from heaven above. And that it will overflow with your blessings to be a blessing and a help and a hand and a feet to all those that you bring across their path. So watch over them as we commit them to you with thanksgiving and we praise in Jesus' name. And everybody says, church, let's appreciate the leaders for serving the Lord. You may be seated. Quick reminder about the Lord's Supper. When Jesus says, take these elements in remembrance of me, it is more than just a mental memory. It's more than to recall that 2,000 years ago he died for us. Jesus wants us to remember why he died for us, why he gave his body, and why he shed his blood. He died for our salvation. He died to pay the penalty for our sins. He died to place us in his precious body. We belong to one another. He died for our names to be in the book of life. He died to give us the Holy Spirit to indwell us. And he died for our healing. Right? And then his blood cleanses us, covers us, redeems us so that we may be forgiven. Blood of the eternal covenant that we can receive every grace that is available. The blood gives us life. This is the principle from Leviticus, Old Testament, all the way to the New Testament. And we overcome the evil one by the blood. Point 7, as led. Whatever you learn from scriptures. For example, you can add in point 7, Colossians 1:20. His blood reconciles everything in heaven and on earth, and as we appropriate it in our lives. Some of our families are very fractured. Some of our families, cousins fight, uncles, aunties, they fight until like nobody's business. So we want them to come to know the Lord, and that's how we pray, appropriate the blood over everyone for the Lord to reconcile everything in heaven and on earth. Sometimes you may have done something wrong to somebody who has died, and you could not do a closure on this side of heaven. Bring it under the blood. The blood of Christ reconciles everything in heaven and on earth. I want to encourage you, by the end of this year, you got 1 year, 2018, by the end of 1 year, this all these attributes and grace, in one denomination, I think it's the Anglican, they call this the means of grace. The means of grace, in which you appropriate the grace of God as we partake of the bread and the wine. So make it a goal. Set your goal. By the end of this year, you go one whole long year. Alright? Put all this to heart, to memory. Remember all this. And every time you give thanks, you don't have to look up at the slide. You know, you are able to give thanks and commune with the Lord as you do so. Okay? Tithe and offerings. Tithe is very important. We need to tithe. God doesn't need our money. In a sense, the church also doesn't need your money or my money. But I need to give. I need to tithe. Why? Number one, out of gratefulness. Number two, because I need the Lord to protect the remainder of whatever he has given to me. And similarly for all of us, we need to learn to tithe for the Lord to protect all that is given to us. Our tithing is a sign. Or just as water baptism is a sign, that the circumcision was a sign for the Israelite that we are people of God. Offerings. Giving beyond the tithe. In this trip to Hainan, there was this at the dinner table on the last night, seated at the table with one or two. I was just asking the guy, who is this guy? Oh, he's a multi-billionaire and so forth. I said, is he a donor to the Haggai Institute and the ministries there? Not yet. And I was just making a comment. Over the last 200-300 years, we talk about generosity. Generally, I was just commenting the Chinese, alright? They're not as generous as compared with the Americans. The missionaries that came over, I'm talking about 50-100 years. And the planting of the churches and the resources and the material and the thing they bring across, they are very generous. And we are appreciative of that. We are beneficiaries of the British missionaries, the Robinsons and all those who came to Singapore. And generosity is a learned behavior. We have to learn to be generous. And this is where our offerings come in. Okay? Adore. Alright, let's talk about adore. What does it mean to be adore? To adore, for those of you who missed out the first part, alright, you came late. Today we are talking about mapping our way out of our difficulties. Map stands for magnify, adore, and proclaim, following from our CVTL. In your difficulties, in your conflicts, in your problems, in your situations, the Lord wants us to follow this formula, so to speak, to map our way and to walk in victory. So now we come to the second part, adore. To love, to be fond of, to cherish, to long for. We attended weddings where you see the couple, alright, the guy singing for the girl or the girl singing for the guy, alright. And sometimes they sing out of tune, so never mind. Alright, and see the guy bring the guitar, alright, and then he bring out of the wrong chords, and the wife is all mesmerized with his singing. All she cares for is they're singing to her. So many of us listen to pop songs over the years. And many of the times in a pop song, you hear what you call silly love songs. I will always love you, alright? And on the other hand, we sing wrong song, we say, please release me. Wrong song, alright? Silly love songs by Paul McCartney and so forth. It doesn't matter to the outside world, you don't care. None of their business. But between the lovers, between the friends, you got a friend, alright? It means so much. Those of us who are parents, now that's for a little baby, Karen's a little boy, alright, at the back, he's just so smart, he's so happy, the mother just fed him. And the mothers or grandparents just talking to their little infant, 5-month-old, 3-month-old, 7-month-old, alright? And at one stage, you'll be just cooing, alright? It doesn't make sense to the outsiders. But you're communicating with the child. You're singing, you're making the noise. And then after a few months later, they're making other sort of noises. This is the love language between lovers. Whether it's the lovers between a husband and a wife, between two good friends who are male, or two good friends who are ladies, or between a mother and a child, or a grandparent and a child. When you adore someone, we can magnify a little distance, but when we adore, we draw nearer to God. To adore captures our emotions. It captures our feelings. It captures our heartstrings. It stirs something in us. I mean, from the China tree, everything is kantong, kantong. Wow, you kantong. Kantong means you are being stirred and you feel, all right? You cherish. And this is the part about drawing near to God. And I want to recap all that we have learned in this church. Okay? Everybody read A on the screen. 1, 2, read. John 4:10. We must first experience His love. Over the years, many of us live our Christian life. We come from churches and our leaders ask us the question, do you love God? Then why are you not at a prayer meeting? In the past, you were faithful at the WNI, husband and wife. How come nowadays, pondang? Okay? If you think He refers to you, it's coincidence. How come you didn't come for the cell group meeting? How come you come and go just like a spectator in the church? Alright? We focus on performance. We focus on doing things for God. Wrong starting point. The first starting point is, have we first received and experienced the Father's love? We go back to John 3:16. The very basis in which we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Not that we love God, but that He loved us. And therefore, if we have not personally received His love, we have not personally experienced the love of God, the reality of God in our lives, we can never love God. We will just revert to our performance and all that. Why? The question is why? This is because the origin of love, the fountain of love, the source of love comes from God. 1 John 4:16, God is love. He who is connected to God, he who abides with God, he who dwells with God, abides in love. The same illustration. You turn on the tap in your kitchen, there is water. Question, where does this water come from? Obviously from the tap. The tap is connected to the half-inch pipe in your house that is connected to the maybe one-inch pipe underneath the house, connected to the one-meter pipe that links all the way to the reservoir. If you live in Bedok and Simei, you could probably get the water from Bedok Reservoir. You live in Woodlands, you get it from Seletar Reservoir. You live in Tuas and Jurong, you get it from somewhere. The source. God is the source of love. We don't have love on our own. And we can then love God as our response to Him. Because He first loved us. 1 John 4:19. We love Him because He first loved us. And this is important. This foundation must be well laid in our lives. And if you come to BBTC, you are a BBTician, you are a disciple, you must have this foundation properly laid. We know the verse Romans 8:28. People always say, God work all this God will work all things for good in your life if you love God and if you are called according to your purpose. Wrong interpretation. I don't buy that. I will buy and I'll pray the other way around. Lord, I thank you that you will work all things for good in my life. Because, number one, you love me. You've got this foundation right. And Lord, because you love me, we love God. Right? That's what the verse says. God works all things for good for those who love God. And Lord, I can only love you because you have first loved me. We love Him because He first loved us. And secondly, God has called me to do good works. Ephesians 2:10. God has given me a purpose and a destiny. Therefore, we pray from the position of confidence in our relationship with God. We pray from the position of confidence in the love of God, not on my performance. You see the shift in focus? The focus must be on God and His promises and His love. Not on my love for God. Not on my performance, which is feeble and miserable. And that's a problem with a lot of churches. Oh, sorry, pardon the phrase. That's a problem with Christians that we interact with that goes on this performance treadmill and they get entangled with problems. We can then love others with the love of God. Everybody read Romans 5:5. 1, 2, read. Now, hope does not disappoint because God's love, the Father God pours His love continuously in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes that which is from the Father and pours it literally. That's what He says in this verse. And then from here, we love others with the love of God. Okay, everybody read E. 1, 2, 3. When? Okay, when the love of God is put into our hearts because we are connected with God, we can love one another with the love of God. But when we fail to experience and connect with God, when we fail to experience and abide in the love of God, when we fail to experience and dwell in the love of God, what happens? We revert to our fallen, sinful nature. Manifested in works, in performance, we become competitive, we live like an orphan. Why should I go and love the person? He is such a hypocrite. Why do I do this? He's so mean. Why? Because we are looking at it in human terms. But when we are connected with the love of God, we can go the second mile, the third mile. I was catching up with some of the leaders. One leader was just updating me yesterday. Alright? On Thursday night, somebody had got into trouble, there was manifestation and so forth, and he told me by the time he goes home and slept, it was almost 2:30 a.m. Why does he do that? Does he have a choice? Of course he has got a choice. It's because of the love of God. And not only him, he updated me, there were 3 adult leaders going to the home of one of our members because of problems. And I hear a lot of things of what many of you are doing, cell leaders and so forth. You go the second mile, you go the third mile, you journey alongside a fellow sister, you journey alongside a fellow brother who is in difficulty, you listen to him, you hear him out, you hear her out. And that's what this is all about. Otherwise, if we revert to our old self, it is what the Bible calls in Hebrews 6:1, dead works. Therefore, we must go back. Hebrews 6 talks about foundations. proper foundations. We must go back to a proper foundation of the love of God. When we receive and experience the love of God, it surpasses our understanding, and the love of God will fill us to fullness again. Every time you minister, every time we live our lives, our love, the spiritual energy is being depleted. So what do we need to know? We need to go back to the love of the Father. We need to ask God to fill us up, to top us up, to heal our hurts, to soothe away the hits and the hurts of life, to soothe away the misunderstandings and all the many things and all our stress and anxieties and fears. The Lord will top us up. Don't run empty in life. We all have an emotional tank. We have a spiritual tank. We got an emotional tank. We got a physical tank. And especially if you are a caregiver. Some of you are caregivers. You're giving care, say for example, to your mom in hospital. And sometimes you've got to go visit not only every day, sometimes twice a day, lunchtime and dinner time. And your mom in hospital is so demanding. And it's very tiring. It's very tiring. It sucks up every energy of yours. And what do you do? If you are a believer, go to the Lord. Go to the Lord to fill you up. Go to the Lord to top up your emotional tank. Because if you don't do that, what will happen? You will burn out. You will exhaust every remaining ounce of energy and strength. So in this church, we must all learn. The mission trip that's going to West Kalimantan. Alright. Sorry, going Batam. Wrong place. Okay. They must all be topped up. They must be prepared, pray before, during, after. They must fill up their spiritual tanks. Connected with God, full of the love of God. Alright? They must top up the mental thing, emotional thing, and physically be strong. Tia all the poor, alright? And so forth. Stay healthy. And then they must be vigilant. Don't get into accidents. Don't fall, and so forth. We can only give of what we have. It's a value we value in this church. What is the outcome of a door? The outcome of a door is revelation. That's like the word strength. Don't get stuck with this word revelation. The scripture for this is 1 Corinthians 2:9. As it is written, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, what nor have entered into the heart of man, what men have not perceived, the things which God prepared for those who love Him. This is quoted from the Old Testament. What he's trying to say is revelation. Revelation is insight. Revelation is wisdom. Revelation is the download. Alright? For example, eyes have not seen. You can go into a situation, everybody see, but what do you see? What each person see is different. Some people see, but they don't see. Blur. They remain blur as sotong. Alright? Some people hear. Hear, no ears have heard. Everybody is hearing the same message. But not everybody is hearing the specific message. Every Monday morning, the pastoral staff shred the message. They don't shred the speaker, they shred the message. And we ask the question, what is your one take home and two take home? And sometimes we are amazed at what each person is sharing. Oh, from the message I picked up, the Lord spoke to me on this, and the other person look at the other person in amazement. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. What the Holy Spirit will download to you, will reveal to you. Revelation is different for different people. Similarly for your work. You go to work. Alright, and you're trying to perceive, oh, your boss is going to react this way. In fact, there was a young man earlier this week I came into contact with. His boss was very angry with him, alright, very aggressive. And what did he do the night before? He prayed. And then there were two words very clear to him. Next morning, go to your boss, see him, ask for an appointment to see him, and secondly, go and apologize to him first before you say anything else. He was in a particular situation, alright. And that's what he did. The next one, he went to the boss. Boss, can I see you? Sure. He sat in. But the day before, the boss was very aggressive, very mean to him. And the first thing he said was, boss, I'm sorry. Can you give me a chance to explain the situation? And as he did so, the boss, all the angst and all the negativity in the boss melted. And even the boss' heart was changed. And at the end of it, all the boss said to him that he was not himself, alright? Or he himself misbehaved. He himself was just too mean and misunderstood. And perceive the situation wrongly. This young man is able to do it. He's from this church because he received revelation the night before. Go to your boss, say you're sorry. I mean, not that he was really wrong or whatever, right? Just say sorry. And the word sorry melted the whole and changed the atmosphere and changed the posture and attitude of the boss. Revelation. husband and wife, parents and children, with colleagues, your financial situation, starting a family, taking care of infants and so forth. We need revelation all the time. Like I said, don't get stuck with this word revelation. This is wisdom. This is insight. This is what you see. What do you hear? Nor have entered into the heart of man. What do you perceive? We all perceive different things. We've got different level IQs. It's not about IQ. 1 gram of God's wisdom will confound 1,000 tons of the world's wisdom. It is not about IQ. It's about every child of God connected to the Holy Spirit. And as we receive His love and love Him, Lord, how do I strengthen my marriage? How come my husband and my wife's personality is so different? Lord, how do I go on in this cell group? I mean, these 2 or 3% are really a pain. Alright? How do you love them? How do you help them? One is always wanting attention, talk non-stop. One is completely quiet. How? How do you navigate among such personalities in the cell group? Or in the office? Or amongst your customers and so forth? Everything in life can be solved. For the child of God. For the child of God who is connected to the living God. In Hainan, where it was Hainan, there was this man. In fact, there was this guy from Indonesia. He says that he grew up in Indonesia. At one stage, he became stateless. All right, he's actually Chinese, but I don't know what kind of Chinese. All right, and then he went to Taiwan University. So when he was in Indonesia, he went to the mosque to learn about the M religion. Then he was Taiwan, he learned about the other religions and so forth. And after a while, he was a bit confused, alright? And he got Christian friends, and he was pissed off with the Christian friend who tried to impose on him, say that he's a sinner, he will go to hell if he doesn't believe in Jesus. Terrible way to share the gospel. Alright? Don't ever do that. Our BBTians must never be found doing that. But in the end, he figured out, wow, the M God, the this God and that God. He says, God, the real God must be the Creator God. You must be the eternal Supreme God. And he prayed to this eternal Supreme God. And to cut the long story short, he came to know the Lord. Today he's a faculty member teaching with this Haggai Institute from Indonesia all the way to China and all over the Mandarin speaking places in Asia. Revelation. There was a lady we met, there was one day, the transport arrangements was haywire. The guy that normally fetches me, he has to go for other meetings. So he went to this business lady among the students. Can you send this speaker back to the hotel? Sure. Alright. She came, and then of course along the way, in her perfect Mandarin and in my imperfect Mandarin, alright, I tried to figure out, I said, Ken Wa Tiang, how do you sing Chu? How do you know the Lord? Okay. So this is what I figured out. She came to know the Lord only 3 years ago. She's a businesswoman. I said, how do you come to know the Lord? She said she almost committed suicide. Her business was so bad, she said she could not sleep. She was suffering from insomnia the 4 years before the 3 years she came to know the Lord. She gone to Taiwan, gone to Korea, went to wherever, Thailand, alright, sought all kinds of God, sought all kinds of ways to cure her insomnia. She was not. And back to Hainan, she had a business associate who says, why don't you get this pastor to connect with you. To cut the long story short, this pastor or this Chuan Tao and this Zhang Lao and all, they all came and she prayed. And it was praying for her, something left her and she was beginning to yawn. That night onwards, she slept like a baby. Husband, businessman, skeptical, money, 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 qian, everything is qian, alright. Saw the change in the wife. Alright. He also followed her to attend this training course. This training course is actually meant for believers to want to give themselves to serve the Lord. But he came to know the Lord in the process of attending this training course, this Haggai training course, leadership course. And I asked her about the rest of her family. Over the last 3 years, she came to know the Lord, the family, her papa, mama, all water baptized, all came to know the Lord. That's amazing. Revelation. Revelation comes directly, it comes indirectly, it comes through what you see, what you hear, what you think, what you feel. The Holy Spirit is infinite. He works in ways beyond our ways. God said in Isaiah 55, He says, my ways are higher than your ways. Why? Because our minds are limited. The way we think, the way we perceive is limited. God says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Revelation. But what revelation doesn't come to the natural mind. Revelation comes to the renewed mind. The renewed mind, Romans 12:1, that is surrendered to God. That is connected, abiding, dwelling, relating to the Father God. And then the revelation will come. And that's why we make this bold statement. There is no problem in our lives that cannot be solved. There is no predicament we cannot get our way out. Because God, where there seems to be no way, we sing the song, but some of us don't believe it. Where there seems to be no way, God will make a way. God will always make a way for His child. We are just so precious in His eyes. And that's why we celebrate. That's why we say it's hallelujah. That's why we always have hope. And the word hope is with certainty. Those who love God knows how to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Don't quarrel with me on this. This is in the Bible. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19 and Colossians 3, 16 says that when we are filled with the Spirit, when we are filled with the Word, we know how to sing psalms, which we all do. Sing psalms are praise songs. We know how to sing hymns. Hymns are testimony songs. Well, we learn how to sing spiritual songs. Let me explain spiritual songs. Spiritual songs are songs from our spirit to the Spirit of God. They are words, they may be uttered, they may be pressed. It comes from the deep in us, connecting with the deep in God. Psalm 42. They are not rehearsed, they are spontaneously, just like the silly love songs, honey baby, why honey baby? All right, it makes no sense to the outsider. Or why you cuckoo, and whoa, you make all these funny noises to the baby. Why baby, I don't understand. Why not gorilla or what, something else? You know, it's so funny, alright? But when you are in love, we're talking about adoring the Lord. When you are in love, it's just between you and the Lord. And I want to encourage every one of us, in the segment during the corporate worship, we ought to sing love songs to God every day, alright? But in corporate worship, in the segment where maybe they black out the screen, and then the worship leader gets into carried away in a world of her own, the guitarist, wow, that's whack, and the drummer, that's whack, okay? And then everybody's singing the stuff. Be lost in the presence of God. It will help. I don't know about you, but it helps me. Close your eyes. It will help. Just open your heart and just focus on God. Why? Those of us who are cynical, skeptical, will be easily distracted. Those of us who are capable, what's my neighbor doing? Or what's the girl you're eyeing doing? Is she closing her eyes? Don't be capable. That's you and the Lord. Closing your eyes, opening your hearts to the Holy Spirit, and just talk to God. For some of us, we just want to be still and just feel His presence. You can see silly things. I've seen many silly things over the years, but over the years, I've been repeating them. After a while, they're no longer silly, they are real. Like, for example, Holy Spirit, possess me. Years ago, I said that, I frightened myself, possess me. And years I found myself, I said, Father God, I just want to embrace You, Father God. I just want to embrace You, Lord Jesus. I just want to love You, Holy Spirit. I mean, this came out of your mouth. It didn't make sense to me embracing God. I mean, it's so big. Yeah. It doesn't matter for what, for other people to hear. It's just God and you. This is what spiritual songs is all about. It's from our spirit to the Spirit of God. It's from the deep in us to the deep in His God. Let's stand. Let's do this. Let's now adore the Lord with our spiritual songs. Let's close our eyes. Let's focus on the Lord. You understand the words, you remember the words, just sing. Don't remember, just sing. Doesn't matter, it's just you and the Lord.
Wherever you are, brothers and sisters, let's just look to the Lord. Let's begin to seek His face.
Away, and you see.
we in heaven but you. And earth has nothing that we desire besides you. So here in this place, Lord, in the Holy of Holies, Lord, we will draw near. Won't you draw us nearer to you, Lord? Take us deeper in love. More of you, Lord. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Oh, we worship you. I sing a love song to you, Lord. And every day, every night, I'll tell of your goodness and mercy. Tell the world how you rescued me. You picked me up from sin and shame. You rescued me, new life. Where can I go from your presence? Under your wings, I take refuge. Your spirit lives within my heart. And I know we'll never be apart. Draw closer to you, Lord. I long to see your face and hide in your embrace. All my life, living in your holy face. How the Lord you changed. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same.
Our eyes on your glory, we will be changed. We'll be changed from glory to glory. You will lift us up from strength to strength. And you will increase our faith to faith. Lord, we look to you, Lord, and we just ask that you will deepen our walk with you, that you will teach us to pray, you teach us to love you, you teach us to give ourselves completely to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We talk about magnify, we talk about adore, and not proclaim. And again, don't get stuck with this word. Proclaim means to speak, it means to declare, it means to utter, it means to say everything with our mouths. And the scriptural basis for this is 2 Corinthians 4:13. Everybody on the count of three, one, two, go. And since... our faith is a speaking faith. We cannot contain, we cannot just keep it quiet, so to speak. I believe I spoke, we believe we speak. And as we believe, we must speak forth what we believe. And that's what we've been doing the whole in this whole service. We pray, we give thanks, we bring our spiritual songs, we sing the songs, we worship God in surrender, we proclaim, we read the scriptures, we whisper. Some of us are silent, some of us mutter, we declare. It's a whole range of verbal activity because the Bible says the mouth speaks from the overflow of our hearts. And therefore, if we fill our hearts as we receive the love of the Father, our mouth will overflow with praises and thanksgiving to the Lord. What do we proclaim? All right, there are a whole series of things I want to recap for all of us to do. We're going to proclaim the following. Let's proclaim them aloud together. All right, are we ready? Proclaim our position in Christ. Number one, I. Through Jesus, my righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness. Righteousness is a gift. In the divine exchange, we are men, we are sinners, we deserve death. Jesus is perfectly righteous. He's in the presence of God. He's holy. But what happened was He took our sins upon Himself. He died on our behalf, and in exchange He gave us His righteousness. We can never work for this righteousness. This is the mercy and the grace of God. It is undeserved. It is unearned. It is unmerited. And therefore we come to God clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And because of that, we can come to God 24/7. Alright, everybody ready? Number two. Number three. Number four. Now this sounds arrogant. Again, what is the premise? If the premise is our own confidence, it is arrogant. But if the premise is in scriptures and we experience God again and again and again. And a reminder again, don't compare. What happened to other people, I don't know, you don't know. We do not know all the variables, all the considerations. But for me and for you, we must have this faith conviction. Number five, Christ is the wisdom of God. In Christ is hidden all the mysteries of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2 tells us that. Number six. Because of my conservative past, when I first declared this, wow, I also shudder. But again, now it becomes a daily prayer. I want to walk in divine healing. Every germ, bacteria, virus that comes, die. Alright? I want every part of my body, every function of my body, every cell in my body to be in healthy equilibrium and healthy alignment. If that's what you desire, pray and declare. Scriptures, Proverbs 3:8, Proverbs 4:22. The Word of God is health for our body and strength, nourishment for our bones. Our bones produces good cells. It increases our immunity that determines our state of well-being. Number seven, you have what you say. I'm always blessed in Christ. And then in Psalm 23, there are the seven redemptive names of God. Every day proclaim the names, the attributes and goodness of God. We can proclaim, as I said earlier on, by singing. We can proclaim by saying. We can proclaim by uttering. Okay? What I'll do is I'll read the middle box, the Lord is my shepherd, and you read the words in red. Okay? And after that we swap. Alright? The Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He's our peace. Calm, cool, collected. He's our peace. All right. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And notice it is paths of righteousness. When we follow Him, He wants us to believe right and to do right. He restores my soul. The Lord who heals. Now we stop. Now you read the verse. Ready? Go. Yeah. We fear no evil, even in the valley of the shadow of death. He is our Jehovah Shammah. In Matthew 1, Jesus is called Emmanuel, God with us. In Hebrews 13, He promised us He will never leave us nor forsake us. We have the presence of God all the time. One more time. Verse 5 of Psalm 23, 1, 2, go. You. I love it. The Lord prepares a table before me in the presence of, not my friends, my enemies. When you make your enemies God's enemies, when God's enemies are your enemies, the battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. He's our Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Nissi is taken from Exodus 17. Remember Moses on the mountaintop, Joshua fighting in the valley? And every time his hands is raised, they were overcoming. Every time his hands is down, they were defeated. They are under defeat. And God told Moses, write this down as a memorial for Joshua and the generations to come. The Lord, our banner of victory. Okay? And then the seven attributes of Father God. Seven attributes of Father God, which He Himself personally declared. Everybody, Exodus 34, 6 and 7. 1, 2, read. And number one, God is always merciful. Number two, Father is always gracious. Number three, He is long-suffering or slow to anger. Number four, He abounds in goodness. That's why we say the Lord is good. His goodness abounds forever. He's always good, perfectly good. Number five, He abounds in truth. There is no lie with God. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Number six, He's always faithful, keeping mercy for thousands. Faithful through the generations. That's why we can sing the hymn, great is thy faithfulness. And number seven, He is always forgiving when we come in repentance, when we come in confession. Always forgiving. That's why the psalmist said in Psalms 130, Lord, if you mark our transgressions, who can stand? But thank you, Lord, that with you is a multitude of mercies. The three streams of the nature of God, we say this umpteen times, it was on the screen, on the wall. Alright, everybody read Jeremiah 9:24. 1, 2, go. But let him. Right, you know this very well. God is always loving, always just, and always righteous. The three streams of the redemptive grace of Christ. The redemptive grace of Christ. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Salvation is in no other. He's the way to the Father. He's the truth as opposed to all the lies and philosophies and all the other thinking and ways people think they can go to heaven. And He's the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. No other way. The three streams of the work of the Holy Spirit. All these messages were preached before, right? They're all on the website. Under the heading, knowing and experiencing the Father God, knowing and experiencing the Lord Jesus, knowing and experiencing the Holy Spirit. Every attribute of the Holy Spirit you read in the New Testament can flow into one of these three streams. The spirit of power, spirit of love, and spirit of wisdom, a sound mind, wisdom. It flows into these three streams. Alright? They take note of scriptures. Proclaim the finished works of Christ on the cross. Very important for all of us. Everybody, Colossians 2, 13, 14, 1, 2, read. And you. Louder. I love it. Wiped out, taken it out of the way, nailed it to the cross. Every accusation, every wrongdoing, all our skeletons in the closet, nailed to the cross, under the blood. It is finished. It is over. No more shame. No more fear. No more control. No more worrying about our past. It's all under the blood. When we confess, when we repent, when we bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ. John 10:10. 1, 2, read. The thief. God doesn't want us to have eternal life on a survival mode. Jesus says, I come to give you life that is more and more abundantly. Therefore, live the vibrant Christian life. Live the life that God intended it for us to live. Live the, by the spirit of sonship, not by the spirit of an orphan. 1 John 3:8. 1, 2, read. He. And I love this word, destroy. He destroyed the works of the devil. And in Hebrews 2:14-15, 1, 2, read. In. The mother of all fears is the fear of death. We face all kinds of fears. Fears of not having enough money when you retire. Fear of your wife or your husband leaving you. Fear of your children turning rebellious. Fear about being fired. Fear about our health, especially for those of us who get older. All kinds of fears. And the mother of all fears, that die. Fear of death. And the Bible says here that the fear of death is a bondage. And Jesus died on the cross to destroy the works of the devil who had the power of death so that we are released from this fear. So when we are released from the mother of all fears, we should be released from all the other fears in our life. We should not walk in fear. Why is there fear? Fear torments us, the Bible says, 1 John 4:18. Perfect love casts out fear. It's because we are not perfected, we are not connected, we are not dwelling and abiding in the love of the Father. The last section, proclaim blessings to one another. Everybody read louder. 1, 2, go. I receive them all from you. There was a pastor in the at a meeting in Hainan, and he got this all mixed up, but it doesn't matter. Alright? It doesn't matter, we just pronounce the blessing. Because of number 6, this Aaronic blessing, the blessing of Aaron, the high priest. In Numbers chapter 23, Balak, King Balak tried to hire Balaam to curse Israel. Because of this blessing, Numbers 23 declared no sorcery, no witchcraft, no curses, no divination can come upon Israel or the sons of Jacob. Similarly for us. Because we are a blessed people, there can be no curses, no divination, no sorcery that can land on us. Unless and until we give them permission. If you don't give them permission, you abide in the Lord, no evil shall come near your dwelling or your tent. Psalm 91. 2 Corinthians 13:14. 1, 2, go. The grace, favor, amen. This is the benediction. Normally at the end of every service. Don't wait for the end of the service. Every day just pray this blessing. Fathers, bless your children. Mothers, bless your children. Husbands, bless your wives. Parents, grandparents, bless your great children and grandchildren. Those who are singles, bless one another with all these blessings. And this is repeated in all the epistles. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. In the old covenant, the firstborn receives double blessing. In the new covenant, all of us, we receive multiple blessings. But how multiple, what multiple, which multiple, depends on you. Depends on how hungry and thirsty you are for the blessings of God. What is the outcome of proclaiming? We reap the fruit of our mouths. Those who love it will eat its fruit. I'm always blessed. I'm highly favored. I'm always protected. I will be always protected. Nothing evil can touch me. Nothing evil can touch me. I walk in divine healing, divine health, divine life. I will walk in divine healing, health and life. Similarly for all of us, we will reap the fruit of our mouths. We always ask this question, and I'll ask this question again. Does God know our needs? Does God automatically answer our needs? No. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So how? How to please God? Two ways. Hebrews 11:6. Number one, believe that God is there. Connect with God. Believe that He exists. Connect with God. Number two, He will reward those who earnestly seek Him. What do you mean by seeking Him? Does it mean you need to go to the desert? No. Seek Him in His Word. Seek Him in His promises. Stand upon His promises. Tie this verse with Hebrews 4:16. Boldly come to the throne of grace, obtain mercy, find grace. There is a grace for every need in our lives. Seek and you will. No brainer. The last two slides are all the promises of God. I claim them all the time. Okay? Isaiah 55:11. 1, 2, read.
So word be that goes forth from my mouth shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I see, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I see.
Jeremiah 1:12.
Then the Lord will say to me,
Psalms 103:20. And Isaiah 44:26a. You have all the scriptural references. Stand upon them. I'll just end with this last slide. David was a man after God's own heart. God is looking for His sons and daughters to be after His own heart. The Father said of the Lord Jesus, "You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Remember, no guilt, no condemnation. Let's stand and sing this song as a prayer. Lord, I come to You and become the son and daughter that delights the heart of the Father. Let's do that.
Lord, I come to You. Let my heart be changed and renewed, flowing from the grace that I found in You.
ourselves to you and thank you for your word. We just ask for your grace and your Holy Spirit to unpack it day by day for each of us, to map our way, to always be the head and not the tail, to always be on top and not below, to always be overcomers, conquerors, more than conquerors as sons and daughters of God. So we give our lives to you and thank you for your word. Seal it, Lord, in our spirit. Lead us all the way as we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Have a wonderful weekend.